Morning.
Morning.
I think I'll tell you about, I got a call from our text actually, and I texted him back and I said, hey, this is cool. I got a text this morning from Art. Okay? He's actually texting now. That's exciting, okay? Both he and Bert are feeling kind of bad this morning, so they're not with us. Once you know that, and keep them in your prayer. They are, he did say they were going to be worshiping with us this morning on the live streaming, so we're glad to be able to have that for them. We are this evening, 5 o'clock, going to be showing the film Flywheel, so I want to encourage you to come back for that. Be here, bring popcorn, drinks, whatever. We will be right here and share this time of fellowship and watch this this great movie. So I encourage you to come back and do that. We are talking about and in a study called The Christian Atheist. And what this is really all about is we're looking at, it has to do with people who believe in God, but yet their life, the way that they're living their life does not really show that they actually believe in God. In other words, their belief is not really affecting their life in a lot of ways. And so what we did last week, we talked about those people who believe in God but don't really know Him. In other words, the importance of having a relationship with God. When the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not talking about intellectual assent, talking about acknowledging that God exists. It's talking about being in relationship with Him. So that's where we were there. This morning, what we're going to be focusing on is looking at those people who believe in God, but are ashamed of their past. Now, one of the things that I want to make sure you understand about this study, when we're talking about Christian atheists, and when we were in our very first lesson, kind of the introductory things to this study, you know, we were talking a lot about people who, again, they believe in God, but yet their life doesn't look like that they really believe in God. But what we need to understand is, just because a person is not living their life the way that they should, doesn't mean that they're living badly. Okay, so in other words, in the first lesson we were talking about, you know, things that people get involved in, you look at it and go, well, how can that be? That's just so against what God, you know, says in His Word, and the things that people get involved in is obviously really bad stuff. Well, but not everybody who would maybe fall into this category as a Christian atheist is necessarily doing a lot of bad stuff. But I think sometimes it's more the idea that what they're not doing is they're not really enjoying the life that God wants them to have because of the struggles that they're facing in their lives. And I think this is one of those categories where people's past is causing them a lot of problems, so they're not really living up to the potential of their relationship with God. So they believe in God, you say, but they're not really living in a relationship with God as if God really does exist for them. So what I want to do this morning, I want you to take a walk with me into the prison of shame. Because that's really what we're talking about here this morning. I want you to walk with me through the prison bars and let's go in here and take a look at what's going on in the prison of shame, with people whose past is really causing a lot of problems for them in their relationship with God. And why is this so important for us to talk about? Because I'm convinced that in this audience, you can't have this many people gathered together and not have somebody and some who are struggling with this very thing. Some who right now are being held in prison, you say, because of stuff in the past. And what we want to do is help people to be free from that. So let's look at inside of the prison of shame. You see, that prison is full of people who have made some bad choices in their lives. We all have opportunities in our lives to make good choices and bad choices. And what happens is a lot of times we don't take the good choice. Instead, we opt for the bad choice. You see? And so the prison of shame is full of people who have made a lot of bad choices in their lives. And it is full of those whose guilt is so overwhelming to them that they feel like that they have no hope. There's no way for me ever to get out of this. You see, because what I have done, or sometimes what has been done to me, is so bad that I'm so ashamed that I have no hope at all. And that's what we see inside the prison of shame. My sin is too big for God to forgive, is the way that some people really see it. See? And so they look at, and instead of praying, asking God to forgive them for their sins, they spend their prayers hoping that maybe God could. You see? Maybe God could forgive me of this terrible sin in my life. Having a problem here with our clicker here. It's people are there who are in this prison are people who hate their past as much as they hate themselves. They look back at their past and they look at themselves and say, I'm no good. I'm a bad person because of what I have done. Convinced that they not only did something bad, but that they are bad themselves. And that's what Satan does to folks, you see, if we're not really careful about how we handle the things we've done, the mistakes we've made, and the choices that we've made. It's very easy to be convinced that it's not just that I did bad, but that I am a bad person. You see? They believe in God. But the past just haunts them with all of that shame. And that's what the past can do. It can be a terror. It can just haunt us every day of our lives. And you don't sleep at night. You don't get anything done during the day. You're just constantly thinking about what you've done in the past. Locked in that prison of shame. Well, let's go a little bit deeper into the prison of shame and go into an area that's called solitary confinement. You see? And we peer into the cell of somebody whose past is so terrible that they just can't face other people, you see. And they find themselves just kind of alienated and isolated from everybody else because they can't face people because of what they have done or what has been done. It's perhaps a woman who has had some kind of an experience that is intensely painful and hurtful to her. Or it may be that guy, the man who believes in his pain, though he believes in God, his pain and his failure is telling him who he really is, and that is a failure. Say, instead of what he's done or had done to him. In other words, what we have to understand is we are not failures. You see? We may have failed in doing things. We may have failed in making some choices that we made, but that does not make us a failure, and certainly not in God's eyes. But that's what we find in solitary confinement. People that look at themselves and say, I'm a failure. You see? And they isolate themselves, and they're isolating these feelings of shame, thinking that forgiveness is way out of reach. There's no way that God can really forgive me for what I have done. My sin is too big, it's too terrible. And so again, sometimes even the prayers is, God, is there any way you could forgive me of this? And they're in that solitary confinement. In Luke chapter 22, in the text that we read this morning as we began, is the story of the denial of Peter. You see? And what's interesting about this story is that Jesus told Peter beforehand what he was going to do. He warned him. You see? Before the rooster crows this day, you will deny that you know me three times. And Peter objected to that. There's no way, Lord, that I'm going to deny you. That's not going to happen. And yet, when it came down to it, three different times, Peter deny that he knew Jesus. I don't know this man. And then the rooster crowed. Okay. Then the rooster crowed. And the scripture tells us that Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but that text, that statement, has always caused me to just kind of think about it in terms of the eyes of Jesus. And what that look from Jesus must have done to Peter. When he thought about what Jesus had told him was going to happen, and his denial that he would do it, and then his denial that he knew who Jesus was, how powerful that look from Jesus must have been. You see? When Jesus' eyes met Peter, a shadow sunk into him. Okay? Now, that's what it looks like inside the prison of shame. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if that's where you are, for whatever reason, you can break out of that. Is that good news or what?
Yeah.
Okay? You don't have to stay in the prison of shame. There's a way to get out of it. Okay? Instead of sitting there in the darkness, in the cell, isolated from your brothers and sisters, isolated from the Lord, you see, you can get out. Because when shame binds us in prison, the result of that is that we can't really live our life for God. And that's where we find the folks who believe in God, but their shame is keeping them from living the life that God wants them to have. Christian atheist, you say. Satan uses guilt and shame and fear, and he uses those things in a sense kind of as shackles that bind us and hold us with that guilt. And then what happens is when that's going on, that shame just takes away all of our hope. It just steals it. Robs us of hope that we can ever be or do anything different. Fear, and here's a big part of it. We have this fear that other people are going to find out. See? And if they find out about what I have done or what's happened to me, then what are they going to think about me? So we tend to isolate ourselves and keep ourselves to ourselves. Okay? Locked away inside the prison of shame. As long as we hold it in, then we remain locked up. So how can we break through? How can we break the bars of the prison of shame so that we can truly be free? And to enjoy the relationship that God wants us to have. You see? To not be Christian atheists, that is those who believe in God but aren't living like He really does exist. Instead, to live like God is living within us. How can we really accomplish that when we're locked inside the prison of shame? Well, you go back to the story of Peter. And one of the things that you begin to understand is that Peter refused to be branded as a traitor. The Bible tells us that when Jesus turned and looked at him, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. In other words, he repented of what he had done. He refused to allow that event to define who he was going to be. And he found himself instead being restored to relationship by Jesus. I don't know what's wrong with our clicker here. Can you go back? There we go. Jesus restored Peter to his relationship with him. See? And that's what Jesus wants to do with us. when we look at ourselves and see things that have gone on that are just too ugly to face, we need to come back and we need to repent if we've been involved in sin, and we need to call upon Jesus to be in relationship with Him, because that's what He wants with us, you see. You got to realize that you are not your sins. That's one of the most important things. And I think sometimes people identify themselves with their sins or their mistakes that they have made in life, and that's who I am. You see? That's not really who we are. You are not what others have done to you, and you are not your past mistakes. You're not what others think of you. You're not what other people call you. You're not what other people have done to you. That is not who you are. Who are you? You're a child of God. Created in His image. That's who you are. And it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You're still a child of God. And He loves you. See? And that's something vitally important we've got to remember. Because then, when you look at the things that have gone on in your past, you look at those things that maybe you're ashamed of, and you ask the question, can you really forgive me? The answer is always yes. The answer is always yes from Jesus. He says, that's why I died. So that you can be forgiven of that. Whatever that is in your life. See? God can change our lives. You look here at the bottom of that, from being a nobody, which is who Satan convinces us that we are, to being somebody, and that somebody is a child that is created in the image of God, loved and made by Him. That's who we really are. That's who you really are. You see? I want you to consider with me for a minute the aftermath of David's adultery and murder. Okay? Now, as sin goes, those are pretty big, aren't they? Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah. We like to look at sin and kind of categorize, say, big sins and little sins. Well, you know, I told a little white lie, that's a little sin, right? But murder and adultery, those are big sins, okay? We tend to look at them that way. By the way, God doesn't look at them that way. It's a sin, okay? But you look at the aftermath of David's sin. David had committed not only adultery with Bathsheba, but then he had her husband murdered in order to try to cover up his adultery. And the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him with his sin.
Amen.
Okay? And he told him the story about two men that you know, had some sheep, and one man, you know, was a wealthy man, and the other man just had this one little ewe lamb. And the wealthy man had a visitor come, and he went over and he took the little ewe lamb that was a pet, really, of this other family, and he killed that one and provided it for food for this visitor. And David, when he heard that story, became enraged. He was so angry that somebody would do that. And Nathan the prophet pointed to him and said, "Thou art the man. You're the one who did it." Mm-hmm. You see? Well, what was David's response to all of that? You see? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." No excuses, no blaming anybody else, no trying to weasel his way out of it. He confessed and repented for his sin. He acknowledged his sin before God.
Amen.
You see? In Psalm 51, David wrote that psalm as a response, you see, to God for his sin. And he writes and he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David didn't allow the guilt to trap him because of what he had done. And he didn't allow it to rob him of his relationship with God. Instead, he repented. He confessed his sin and he repented. Accepted responsibility for it. So that he could continue to be in relationship with God. In verse 10 of that same psalm, David wrote this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart. The one that I've had is dirty. I need it clean. And that was David's prayer. That was his attitude. You see, so it doesn't matter what the sin is. You see? It's what we do with it. Because here's really the ultimate thing. God wants you to have a future of freedom. That's what it's really all about. To get out of the prison of shame and to be free. You see? Ultimately, that's what His goal is for us. When we sin, you know, we were separated from God. And God has provided the blood of His Son, Jesus, to free us from the bondage of sin so that we could live in freedom with Christ Jesus, in relationship, a reconciled relationship with God. That's what He wants for us. You see, God is in the change business. That's what He's all about. You see, that's what His job is to change us and to make us new and whole. He changes us by His grace. So we don't have to stay where we have been. God can take us and change us to be what He wants us to be. But in order for that to happen, first of all, we've got to accept the unchangeable past. Whatever has happened in the past, whatever you've done, whatever has happened to you is unchangeable. You can't go back and undo it. It's happened, it's done. So you have to be able, first of all, to accept the past. But don't allow the past to define who you are. You see? Because what you have to do then is to embrace the future. Look forward to what God has in store for you. When you live in the past, then the future gets mighty dim. But when you live in the present, you say, for the future, then everything is changed. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Do not be deceived, he says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers will inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that that is present tense. Mm-hmm. Those who are doing these things, who are living this way, will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Okay? Amen. Notice what he says in verse 11. Okay? He says, "And that is what some of you were." That's past tense. You see? That's what some of you were. And then he goes on to talk about something else that happened in the past. He says, "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That has already happened. If you are in Christ Jesus, you were lost in your sins, separated from God, but you were also, when you gave your life to Christ, washed, cleansed, justified, sanctified. Doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
You see? So you don't have to live in the past. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation." You see? A new creation. "Therefore, the old has gone and the new has come." If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. What you were in the past is gone. So don't allow it to keep you in a prison of shame. It's gone as far as God is concerned. The only one that is holding it to you is you, if that's what's happened. You see, your future is in Jesus. That's what it's really all about. And we have to make a choice. We can either live in the past and be held captive by the sin, by the shame, by the hurt and the pain and all those things of our past. We can do that. Or we can live in the present with Jesus Christ as our Lord, in relationship to Him, looking forward to the future of an eternity with Him. That's what our choices are. See? We don't have to let the past hold us back. No matter what you have done, no matter what has been done to you in life, it can be forgiven.
Amen.
It can be forgiven. See? The blood of Jesus takes us from where you are or where you have been in your life, even if it's been locked up in that prison of shame. It takes you from there and it brings you to where He wants you to be as a transformed, renewed, recreated life in Christ Jesus. You see, here's really what it's all about. God formed us or created us in His image. Okay? But sin deformed us. That's what sin does. It deforms us and it takes us away from a relationship with God. But the great news is that Jesus can transform us to bring us back into relationship with Him. And that's what it's all about. As long as you are locked in the prison of shame, you can never really live in relationship with God the way He wants it to be. But you don't have to stay there. So I'm here this morning to tell you, if perhaps maybe that's where you are, if you've given your life to Christ, but maybe, you know, you find yourself, you say, yeah, I guess that's me. I'm a Christian atheist. I believe in God, but I'm not living my life the way that I know that I should and could because of my past. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can get rid of that. There's no reason for you to leave here this morning still locked in that prison of shame. If it's your sin, you need to repent of it. You need to confess it. Get rid of it. And be free of the shackles and the bondage that Satan's trying to hold you in. If it's something that's been done to you in your life that you're ashamed of, there's no reason for you to carry it around. God will take it away from you if you just get trust in Him so that you can live a life of freedom in Christ Jesus. For those of you who are here this morning that have not given your life to Christ yet, you need to understand you are still lost in your sin, separated from God. And you will remain so until you give your life to Him. But if you're tired of being locked in that prison, separated from God, then you too, right now this morning, can be free. You repent of the sin that's separating you from God and call upon Jesus as your Lord. You can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now. You don't have to wait. So you can walk out of here this morning a free and renewed new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do. We can't help you to deal with those things if you just keep it inside. So we offer an invitation time. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up front. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there. But we encourage you, if you've been locked in a prison of shame, let's free you this morning. Okay? So you can live in the present with Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.